ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Ian 909. We're joined now by Lewis Fitzmaurice, St. Tammany Parish Assessor. Pick up our conversation that we had a while back about homestead exemption and increases or decreases. How you doing, Lewis?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How are you?
Give us a little recap, if you will, please, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, the last time we spoke, we were talking about the homestead exemption and about how many years. It's been about 45 years since the last time it was increased. Currently, it's at 75,000, and I believe when we spoke, the session had just finished up and stuff, and a bill had come up and got out of the House and Ways Committee, out of the House, to increase the homestead. That was to 125,000, so a 50,000 increase, and it failed on the House floor. So we're looking hopefully that this session coming up, we're going to be able to maybe get another bill in there. But we're looking at about 100,000 now to increase it 25,000, and there's some reasons behind that.
Tell me about them, Lewis.
Okay, you know we also discussed, Tommy, that you know there's 64 parishes and we're not all the same. And where we're really experiencing the issues of high residential values, probably the best way is along that I-10, I-12 corridor. All those areas are seeing some growth and increase in values. But here in St. Tammany and in Orleans, because I've been working with Assessor Williams in Orleans Parish on this, is that our high residential values, especially in this last reassessment that came up, and the issue that we have here in St. Tammany, lesser extent they have in Orleans, but 70% of all the property taxes paid in St. Tammany Parish are paid by residential property owners. And leaving only 30 where the business. So to me, the increase in the homestead will help our residential try and get that burden shifted just a little bit. Not a lot of bit, but it will be helpful. But there's a lot of parishes out there that you know, 125,000 homestead, it could really hurt them financially. So we feel like this 100,000, there's a good consensus that's a good figure. That could be all throughout the state. And so that's what we're going to work on this coming year, well, next year's session.
Because inflation has driven up in certain areas the price of the house, but the appraisal has gone up, but the exemption has not, right?
No, like I said, in 45 years, it stayed the same in 45 years. And you're absolutely correct there, Tommy, that the homestead, even with it's a consensus out there, the homestead is probably the best vehicle to use to adjust and deal with the inflation. Like I said, inflation is a tax increase without a vote of the people, whether it's in property taxes, the increased value of property, or sales tax. So when that goes up, you know, you're paying more taxes. When those values go up, you're paying more taxes. This is a way to adjust for that. And it'll be helpful. It'll be really helpful.
Is there the political support for that?
We're hoping. We are so hoping. That's, you know, that to me, you know, something is better than nothing. Here in St. Tammany, I would really like to see it at double to 150. Mm-hmm. But that would be a big hit on us here, too. That would be difficult. I think a reasonable compromise is at $100,000 to increase it by $25,000. That would save, at least here in St. Tammany, most taxpayers between $300 and $400 a year. And for those first-time home builders, for those with high income, that it doesn't sound like a lot, but it can make a difference between owning a home and not owning a home.
The other side of it, those that would oppose that would say, okay, the municipal governments, that's where the tax goes, right, are going to be looking at a shortfall or not? Am I missing something?
Well, no, that's legitimate. And everything's, timing's everything, as you know, Tom. And so we feel here in St. Tammany Parish, particularly just the 25,000, we can absorb that. We could adjust to it in our next reassessment year.
Tell me about the other parishes. What are you hearing from other assessors? Are you just dealing with Orleans Parish or all across the state?
Yeah, I've talked to some others, and I've talked to some in the more rural areas, and there was some concerns. There were real concerns that if it went to $125,000, it could hurt. There was, in the last bill, there was a local option. But there's sort of a feeling that if this came before all the parish councils and bodies, that they would vote for it and put them just politically because of that. They would vote for it and put them in a situation where $100,000 without an option, where it would benefit every parish, every residential property owner in the state that's eligible for a homestead. We feel like that's the best direction to go. And that's the consensus I've been picking up.
How do you balance it out between parish, because the exemption $100,000 in Orleans Parish or Jefferson is not, or St. Tammany even, is not the same as $100,000 in Natchitoches or Rapides or wherever, right?
No, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. But I think there's a feeling, especially since it's been so long, and especially since we like to compare ourselves to Texas so much, that's what the state of Texas homestead is, $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're absolutely right. We have higher values here. The lower values in some of those other parishes and the more rural parishes and up north. So that would increase probably the number that they do have fully homestead. Like here in St. Tammany, only 5% of my residential property owners are fully homestead exempted. And the vast majority of that 5% are those who've had the senior freeze for a while, so it's frozen their values over time. So like this last reassessment, that their values weren't touched at all. And those that live in like modular mobile homes out in the country. And even those, it's amazing what the mobile homes are going for now. It's just, it's crazy. It really is. And this is a way to adjust. This is a way. And like that old saying goes, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And this is just a bite at it. And hopefully this is something we can get past.
A text popped
up
optimistic about the senior freeze. What is the senior freeze?
Senior freeze, when you turn 65, if your income and if you're married, it's combined income, is $100,000 or less, you can freeze the value of your property. And that's statewide.
The assessed value.
That is statewide. The assessed value. So the point being, and how important that is come reassessment, when generally speaking, at least here in St. Tammany, values go up, yours won't. Now, I tell people it doesn't freeze your taxes. It freezes the value of your property. But which in another instance, most of everybody that was frozen before the 2024 reassessment, because of the rollback in the mills, they actually saw their taxes go down because the mills are less. Matter of fact, the mills are the lowest in St. Tammany they've been in 40, 45 years. Yet people still paying a lot of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being, the homestead hasn't increased to adjust for it.
The exemption has not increased.
Exactly. Right.
The price of the home has gone up.
Tremendously. Right. I like to tell this story. My wife, Tanya, and I bought our first home in Abita Springs in the early 90s. I want to say it was like 92. Little three-bedroom home. It was, you know, about 1,500 square feet. We paid $48,500 for it, okay? Mm-hmm. Needless to say, we were fully homestead exempted. In 2020, that same house sold for $200,000. It's just, that's what's happening, particularly here in St. Tammany Parish, and it's been going on really. We've seen the increase in values tremendous after Katrina, when we had all the growth after mm-hmm. Katrina.
So I guess the only thing I'm thinking politically, I could see where legislators would say, yeah, I'm all for this. Absolutely. Let's increase the homestead exemption. But they would get pushback from local governments, for example, where you're talking about areas that would be, if
absolutely.
They become 100% yeah. exempt, then all of a sudden there's yeah. nothing going in. Then what happens?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so that's why we feel the $100,000 is a reasonable amount. And the increase of just $25,000, that should not put anybody in a bad situation.
That's not going to hurt the smaller governments more than the bigger ones?
Well, I honestly don't know, Tommy, as far as everybody's individual parish's mm-hmm. situation. But that would be...
What are you hearing from municipal governments?
Well, I don't hear a lot from municipal because the homestead exemption doesn't matter for municipal governments.
Where's the money go?
In New Orleans, but here in St. Tammany with all our towns and cities, the homestead exemption doesn't apply to their taxes.
So it goes to parish governments?
It's just the parish. And
so what are you hearing from parishes is what I should have asked you.
Yes, because... And then, like I said, it just depends on their situation. But here in St. Tammany, I'll give you an example. I've got a little over 7,000 that are fully exempt here. Like I said, it's about 5%. If we increase the homestead to 100,000, it's going to add about 1,800.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To that number that are fully exempted. But let's say we went to 150,000 proposed. Then I would have over 20,000 who are fully homestead exempted. So almost $13,000 increase in the homestead. So you can see that 25,000 helps, but it's not a big hit.
And somebody,
in comparison to others.
Somebody wants to know about increasing the senior freeze since people are upping that, since the income requirement on that, because people, they say, according to the text line, I'm getting a couple of texts here, people are working longer, still at full salary, which increases their Social Security benefits as well on a sidebar.
Right.
But is there any appetite for that or anybody looking at any of that?
It seems like there was legislation that increased the Yeah, but it seems like there might have been something that came up that increased the senior freeze from 100 to maybe 150,000. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, I don't know if that pat got out or if that's something that would be another constitutional amendment, if that's the case, that we would have to vote on. But I've always been one of those. My preference would be with the senior freeze is to increase the age on it and have no income level on it.
Like what, 67, 70?
70. And then have no income requirements. But you are right. It used to be, I forgot what it was. It was around 75,000. Okay, so there is going to be something, I believe, on the ballot in March to increase the income level for the homestead. I mean, not the homestead, but the senior freeze.
Yeah. Complicated stuff in the detail. It's in the weeds, but it's all about the numbers, and it ultimately affects our pocketbooks. That's why we wanted to have you back on. Thank you, Lewis. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for wanting the public to know what's going on. I really appreciate it.
It's important. It is. Thank you, sir, because it's on both sides. It's on what's going in and what service is going to be provided, and it's what's coming out of people's pocketbooks.
When it's all said and done, you get what you pay for.
That's exactly right. Lewis Fitzmaurice, thank you, sir. St. Tammany Parish Assessor. We'll take a break, talk to Dr. Judy Ho when we come back about what's the right age for kids to start doing stuff on their own, not just trick-or-treating or staying home, but if you have adult kids, at what point do you back off and say, okay, it's your decision, you're married, I'm going to stay out of it. We'll be back, WWL. 9:29 on this Tuesday morning, beautiful Tuesday morning. Dr. Judy Ho joins us, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. We talk about mental health and about child raising issues and a lot of other different things. Morning, Dr. Judy. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I am outstanding. Thank you very much. And how's Luca and everybody over there in the Ho household?
Everybody is doing great. Luca's turning 4 in 2 weeks, so kind of crazy. Time is really speeding by.
Big party planned?
No big party. We're going to go on a little vacation, celebrate his 4th birthday. We asked him, vacation or party, and he said vacation. I was like, I agree.
Good for y'all. Outstanding. The money I spent on birthday parties, I could have gone to Lord only knows where I could have gone. Let's talk about...
Right?
Balance with kids and trick-or-treating and letting them be on their own, because you don't want to be a helicopter parent. You don't want to be a free range. You want to be, I guess, somewhere in between. I've done some research. It looks like the optimum age people say to go trick-or-treating alone is 12. I don't know. Let's talk about child raising and age appropriateness and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a specific age, really. It's also, obviously, every child is different and, you know, how mature they are, et cetera. I would say, though, that in general, I don't know, when I was a kid, like, everybody just kind of let their kids wander the neighborhood, right? It kind of felt a little bit looser back then. Now I feel like maybe it's just parents are paying more attention, or maybe there's also an uptick in, you know, true problems that you have to be watching out for. I mean, most people that I see, especially with elementary school children, I mean, obviously they just take them trick-or-treating, right? Mm-hmm. They go with them, but they might do certain things to let them feel independent. Like they'll stand at the driveway and let the kids go up themselves and kind of have that interaction be theirs. So I think there's a lot of different ways to slowly increase independence while also staying safe. I know that also some parents will say, okay, you can stay on this street and this street where we know the neighbors, but you can't go any other street. And if you feel like your child is old enough to know that and follow directions and you feel safe about that. But I think it's also about the parents' own comfort level. I also know parents who just never let their kids go trick-or-treating and wander off on their own, and their kids are teenagers and in high school.
Yeah, I want to open the text line here at 504-260-1870. Somebody texted in and said, Dr. Judy just nailed it, which is, are the problems that we worry about now goblins, or are they real as it relates to kids wandering the neighborhood by themselves, et cetera?
Right, exactly. And I think that's tough, you know, because you just don't 100% know what might happen. And I think that there's that, there's a little bit of a fear. There's more of a fear too. And especially because of what we see in the news, media in general. So we're paying more attention. And you obviously want this to be a happy and safe holiday for everyone. So if you know that you're just a parent who you just don't feel comfortable for whatever reason, it's okay to honor that. But you also have to know that as your kid gets older, they might want a little bit of independence. So think about ways that you feel safe for them to do something that, you know, is a little bit out of your comfort zone, but you still feel like ultimately they're going to be taken care of, right? So it might be, okay, go to this Halloween event where at least it's enclosed. You can go with your friends, that's fine, but don't leave the premises. I'll drop you off and I'll pick you up, but have fun, right? Because there's lots of like haunted hay house rides and like haunted houses. And, you know, you can do something like that where they are free, but it's kind of within some type of enclosure and some type of rules and supervision that sort of governs the way that that place is run.
Somebody texted in, I don't know if there's any clinical research on this or not, but about, as we talk about Halloween, about scary movies and letting kids watch or opening them to the power of suggestion, or does it matter? I like, Dr. Judy, the movies from the 50s, the black and white horror movies that look as though it were done by a film student, their first film. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's so it's done so poorly, it's like, oh, really? The flashing lights on and off. That's supposed to be scary. I get you. Now you got the scene of the clock over and over and over again. Okay, I understand. But those, right. It's so shticky, it makes me laugh because it's so schlocky, I guess, whatever word you want to use. What about that when it comes to kids and scary movies and so forth?
Well, I think a lot of kids enjoy scary movies to an extent. Obviously, very, very young children, probably not so much. They kind of get spooked sort of easily, so you want to make sure that that's age appropriate. But horror movies, I think for some people, is the way that roller coasters are for other people. It's kind of like they feel like it's a type of thrill, and they enjoy that. And so I think, again, that's all about your parenting philosophy as well, in terms of what you want to allow your kid to consume and if you want them to do it in your presence or not. I would say that for younger children, though, stick to the age, the age appropriate movies that are scary, because otherwise it's you who's going to pay, because they won't go to sleep and they'll be in your room and they'll be bothering you all night, telling you that they can't go to sleep because there's monsters behind their bed or something like that.
Has there ever been any research to indicate that films can lead a child one way or the other?
Lead a child one way or another? What do you
mean?
Well,
in other words, like open them to the power of suggestion or the. I got somebody texting me about The Omen and movies like this and those kind of things.
Sure. Yeah, or like Ouija board. Do you remember
that?
Yeah,
right. They're Ouija boards.
When we were younger.
Right.
Yeah. And then you get, and then, you know, you all of a sudden feel like now you're somehow conjuring, you know, negative spirits or even the devil. Yeah. I mean, I think that children and adolescents in general, because their brains are not as well developed, they are more open to the power of suggestion as well. Peer influence, it's all the same things that we've been talking about in the past conversations as well. And so, again, I think that this is where some parental education and monitoring is very helpful, and also just kind of a dose of reality and what is actually true. But also knowing that despite your best efforts, they may still misinterpret something, go down a path, you know, power of suggestion, thinking that this is real, thinking that maybe they want to take up witchcraft. I mean, all of this can potentially happen, and they're more vulnerable at the ages that they are as minors.
I know when I was a kid, we found an embalmed hand and we would hold it and it would talk to us. Oh, wait, that was a movie I saw. When it comes to allowing kids to make their own decisions about food, somebody texted in. How do you handle that? Because you want the kids to, I know moms that feed their kids a steady diet of chicken fingers and French fries because it's easy and the kid will eat it. It's not the best thing in the world. We see the research. It shows that as parents expose their kids to peanuts, you're not supposed to give infants peanuts. Let me clean this up. But that it can decrease peanut allergies. But you do want to have a well-balanced diet. So I guess the question is, how do you get kids to eat what they're supposed to eat without making them sick? And then for the parents that just decide to go the quick, easy route, the danger's there.
Yeah, I think that it's easy, of course, to sometimes just say, well, at least my kids will eat this, so let's go ahead and do that. But I really try, and again, this is obviously every day is different, but I try to take an approach with my child where basically they have to eat some healthy foods first before they can have a treat. So you can't have the treat before dinner. You know, you have to wait for your treat. And if you didn't have enough healthy food, you don't get a treat that day either. Even on special occasions, right? So again, on Halloween, someone's birthday, it's like, okay, well, you can have the birthday cake if you have enough of, you know, this chicken first, you know, a couple of bites of the broccoli. But it's not so much about volume, right? Because you just want to expose your kid to healthy foods and just let them know that that's an option. So I feel like when parents are like, oh, they have to eat the whole bowl of peas, it's like, well, they're probably not going to eat the whole bowl of peas, but could you say eat some peas or eat 10 peas? Something that feels a little bit more realistic to them, but at the very least, you've had the exposure. And I think that there is some research that just exposure to vary their palate really helps later on, because as adults, they will end up making choices that are more varied, and inevitably that will include some healthy foods. But you don't want to give them a complex, right? You don't want to be like, you can't ever have that food, that's bad for you. I try really hard not to tell Luca that that food is bad. I tell him the food is the treat, because I don't want him to get a complex about good and bad foods. And that obviously, you know, could lead to some other types of problems.
Oh, later. I'd hate to be a mom and be a neuropsychologist all at the same time. The balance you must try to strike. 939, somebody texted in and said, 4 years seems like just yesterday Doc was having a baby. And that's exactly right. Time does fly. We'll take a break, pick it up. We come back. We'll move on to teenagers and helping them in the decision-making process. And also, I got an email about somebody who has an adult child that is facing a big life's decision, and they feel hurt that the child didn't ask them for any advice, that they want to do it on their own, and the kid's married, so it seems like, well, that's not really their worries. But we'll see what Dr. Judy Ho thinks when we come back. 940, 20 till 10, traffic now, WWL. 947, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. I'll take these questions in chronological order, since I got one about teenagers, then I got one about adult and parents and control. This one comes in from a dad whose daughter has had trouble dating, found a date for the homecoming dance. She's spending time with this young man, apparently, and the dad doesn't think much of him at all. Thoughts?
Oh, yeah. That's the worst when dealing with teenage dating.
When a licensed clinical neuropsychologist says, ugh, you know, you got troubles. Go ahead.
Yep. I know. I mean, I don't envy that at all. I have a son, you know, I think hopefully that'll go a little easier in his teenage years. But yeah, you know, it's so hard, right? Because there's that whole thing where if you start to protest too much, then they like all of a sudden want to be with this person even more, when maybe naturally they might not have lasted as long. So I feel like if your daughter's intending to spend more time with this young gentleman, then you have to try your best to essentially have a little bit more connection, maybe even just to get to know this young man and his family. Just so you kind of know what you're dealing with. It's not so much having a fully open mind. I know that that's going to be hard. At least just open yourself up to having more conversations with him to kind of figure out what he's about. And from there, take your next step. I think it's too hard to just tell your daughter, I don't like it when you spend time with this person, without even having gotten to know this person in any way. Because then your daughter will be like, well, what's that based on? So you actually don't really have a basis unless you at least put that first old college try in.
I'm no clinical neuropsychologist, but I can tell this person this. If you want to drive your daughter toward him, start trashing him. Tell her she can't see him anymore. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I like your advice a lot of the time, Tommy.
Yeah,
you know
what true. I'm a real world kind of guy. So let's get to this one. Somebody emailed and said that they have an adult child, 30 years old, thinking about changing jobs. The kid's married, apparently, and the parent here is upset because the child didn't bring them into the conversation about job changes, this, that, the other thing. Again, my real world thing is that's between the grown-up child and the spouse and the parents, unless the parent is brought into it and asked, that's not really, do they have any say in this? Tell me what you think, Dr. Judy.
Yeah, I mean, it can be hard. I think some of it is about your own feelings that you're not brought in. And your 30-year-old is still your child, right? They're going to be your child forever. So you're kind of maybe feeling left out. Like, how could you make these important decisions without us? But that is the thankless part of the parent job, right? Is that you raise them to be adults who no longer need you in many ways.
Right.
And that hurts. And also when they do partner up, when they do marry, they kind of have their new nuclear family now, and that also hurts, but they're going to consult their spouse before they consult you probably. And so if you do have hurt feelings, go ahead and talk to your son about it and say, I wish you guys, you came to talk to us first. They may not even realize that that's something that you wanted, you know? So sometimes I think people have hurt feelings and they don't talk about it. They don't realize that the other person didn't mean to hurt them that way. They're just like, well, I'm 30. I didn't think that you wanted me to come bug you about this kind of thing, you know? Or they're just like, oh, I didn't realize that you wanted to be consulted. I'll do that from now on with big decisions if that means something to you, you know? But I think that it's worth either having a conversation, but also having a bit of a reality check. Like, this is not anything that's bad. This is kind of expected at this developmental level.
If anything, I think you could maybe take some credit or some solace in the fact that you raised a kid that's independent, right?
Exactly. You've reached your goal too well, probably, you know?
they don't need you anymore.
That's
exactly
the point.
Well, yeah. let's keep things real. As long as you got assets, they'll need you. Thank you, Dr. Judy. I appreciate
nice
your time as always.
You
bet. Have a nice Halloween.
Talk to you later.
You bet. Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Yeah, as long as you got assets, kids will keep calling, believe me. You want to get the kids to stop calling, start asking them for money. We'll take a break, come back, find out what Newell's got planned today on WWL.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.